Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather together, and we're so thankful we can look in your word and you tell us things that we'd never otherwise know. And God, we give you honor for that. And I pray you continue to open our minds as we look into the word and how you're speaking to us individually, and Lord, how you're moving through our lives in a powerful way. So God, we thank you with all the craziness going around you. We know we have security in you, and we have direction in you, and that you are doing a mighty work. So we thank you for that. Pray you'd anoint me, the Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit, and I pray you'd open each heart to receive of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in Romans, book of Romans, chapter 11. So turn to chapter 11. We'll be spending most of our time there. So Romans chapter 11, verse 19. I'm going to open with that. It says this: "Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in." Now, the title of the message is Grafted In, and so we'll be coming around that. And it's really fascinating for the church, and you know, as we look at it today, that how we become acceptable to the Lord. He grafts us in. You know, he does a work there. Now, forgive me for my repetition here, but as a reminder that we know, as we've been going through the book of Romans, that after the first eight chapters, there's an abrupt change in the focus. So we're going through the first eight chapters, and then here in 9, we have an abrupt change. And what we had in the first eight chapters was basically the overall view of Christian theology, the overall view of our Christian faith. It is in the first eight chapters. I mentioned before, you know, if I was writing the Bible, I would have ended there, you know. But there's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't write the Bible. But also the Lord saw fit to add a few more things there. But there is the first eight chapters. Again, that's the full theology of the Christian faith. And so you get it, pick it up there. It's fascinating. But what happens in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and this is important because a lot of people, when you read things and they'll say, wait a minute, 9, 10, 11, it's different. It's a little harder to follow. It's harder to reconcile there. And, you know, it just seems a little different. Well, what it's doing there, what the Apostle Paul is doing there, he is answering the Jewish question. He is answering the Jewish question. And why this is important, we have to think back that when this book was written, there were more Jews than Christians, all right? And the primary influx of Christianity was Jews. And then you start have this incredible influx of Gentiles and Jewish people rejecting. So you had this thing going on, and the Jews are the chosen people. You know, it's like, they have to be accepted. And the Gentiles, it's like, we don't want anything to do with them. They shouldn't be accepted for good reason, all right? And so this is kind of the mix that you have going. And what happens here is Paul addresses this question, which is very necessary. And so we can see that, and we have a lot of understanding. It really gives us a lot of understanding of the Old Testament, how it's connected with the New. So, I mean, there's a lot of things there. But it's a definitely change of approach there. Now, so what we have here, the Gentile question is addressed. It says, how could God's people, the Jews, be excluded from salvation, and the Gentiles, who are not God's people, be included in salvation? So what Paul must do is reassure the Jews that they have not been rejected, while at the same time to assure the Gentiles that they are fully accepted. So you got these two groups of people. And Paul said, no, no, you're all in the family. You know, the problem is the families don't like each other. You know, said, well, no, we're one. They go, no, we're not. You know, I mean, that's really what they were running up into. So Paul is addressing this question in chapters 9, 10, and 11. So we're in the chapter 11, and we're going to see that what Paul does here, and we'll understand why he says what he says. Okay, look at Romans 11, verse 1. Romans 11, verse 1. And we see what Paul's trying to do. Okay, this makes sense. Paul says, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Judah. That's what he's saying. He said, he's talking to the Jews. He says, no, I'm one of you. I'm one of you, you know. So that's what he's telling them. He's speaking and he's connecting with the Jewish people, which is important. Because how did he open this? God has not rejected his people. See, they're having a problem. You know, how does this fit together? So he addresses them there. So Paul reassures the Jews by reminding them that he himself is a Jew by birth, yet he's included in God's kingdom through Jesus. All right. Now, reassuring the Jews, he has to assure the Gentiles that they also are included. Okay? So you see a switch now. So you look at Romans 11:13. 11:13. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. See, both groups. You see, you're included. Paul uses, now so he's, his communication and what he's trying to do is get this point across. And so what he does, he continues here and he uses an example of the vine and the branches so people can understand. And unbelieving, what we see here is unbelieving Jewish branches have been broken off the vine. Unbelieving Jewish branches have been broken off the vine of God, and believing Gentile branches were grafted in. Okay, and so you see what he's doing here. He's trying to get this group together. And he said, well, some of these Jews aren't believing. Yeah, but some of them are. The ones that aren't are being broken off. And these Gentiles, none of them believe. They don't even belong. But some of them are believing in Jesus, so he brings them to the vine and grafts them in. So you have the remaining healthy Jewish branches and the grafted in Gentile branches. But you see what he's doing. What's the vine? It's Jesus. Okay, and so he's making that point. So he's getting that point across, and we understand that he's showing us how the kingdom of God is for all people, and at this time specifically the Jews and the Gentiles. So we have in Roman chapter 11, verses 19 through 20, he says this, then you Gentiles will say, Jewish branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off due to unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. And they put it all back. And you can see, well, these Jewish guys, they're broken off. So I can be in. That's right. They were broken off because of unbelief. You're in because of belief. It really is. You think about it, it's kind of brilliant. We talk to these both groups, these people. You're all special. You know, you don't get along, but you are all special. And you need to start working together. And so that's a communication he has going here. So now, here's the point. That's the big picture so you can understand chapter 11. People read chapter, what's he doing? You know, well, that was the purpose and it's so important. It's still important, but it really had a high importance then at the time. Now, so what we see here, that power and life are in the what? Vine and the branches. It's the vine. It's not the branches. It's the vine. So power and life are in the vine of God. Dead branches will be broken off, leaving healthy branches. There's dead branches in the vine, broken off. You see? And it leaves the healthy ones. And then other healthy ones are grafted in. Thus, both natural branches and grafted in branches receive the life-giving nourishment of the vine, which is Jesus. Why are the Jews here in the kingdom? It's Jesus. Why are the Gentiles in the kingdom? It's Jesus. Why are we in this room right now? It's Jesus. See, he's simplifying it and then we're having an issue. It's all about Jesus. And so you see here that these branches are in the life-giving nourishment of the vine. The branches are not the key. The vine is the key. Then and now. It's the vine. It's the vine. Now, Jesus points this out in the believer's life, that power can only come and we can only be sustained through being connected through the vine. All right. That's the whole point. Now I'm getting to, okay, we've answered the Jewish question. Amen? Aren't you glad we're done with that? Okay, and that just is great. I'm glad you told me. It's like, okay, that's why I wrote that chapter. But then also we see this example here of the vine, where all the life, all the sap, if you will, the life-giving sap is going up through this vine, and this life-giving sap is going out through these branches. And so these branches are healthy and function and bear fruit is because the sap from this vine goes out through the branches. Amen? I mean, any farmer knows that, okay? Any farmer. And it's an agriculture time. They say, okay, we have this. Now, what happens here is that Jesus says something earlier in the Gospel of John, and he actually uses this same example, and he talks, and he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. He says, listen, I'm giving you everything you need to live the Christian life. I am giving you everything you need to be powerful. I'm giving you everything you need to work miracles in your life situation. I'm giving you everything you need to be who you are. You know, you can just see a bunch of branches running it down. Woohoo! You know, just down the street. Branches, you know, just being who they are or something. You know, a bunch of excited branches. But then Jesus says, wait a minute, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Now, I don't have an overhead for this, but just listen to me as I read this. You can follow along if you want to turn to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. So using this same example, here's Jesus, and he gives us insight that is literally, if we will embrace it, is totally life-changing. Totally life-changing. And also will explain how foolish, you know, Christian-type things get off base. It also explains that. But here's what Jesus says, all right? We've got the metaphor, you know, we got the, you know, vine and the branches. And Paul showed us in Romans 11. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, John 15, 1, I am the true vine. Okay? Right now, we've identified, there's a lot of vines going out there. He goes, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, you think about that. You got the vines, and I found out we have we need to pray for Steve Stockman. He's having hip surgery the 4th. Okay, so we'll pray for Steve. And just a reminder. But he was raised up in his vineyard. And he's always, you know, he tells me about how they used to do that. And every year they clean the vines off. Every year, and this stuff comes out. It's a constant working of it. He's a vine dresser, you know, cleaning all the branches off these vines. Well, here we have, it's really, and that's what they did in the Near East. I am the true vine, Jesus says. My Father is the vine dresser. What's he doing? What's the Father doing? He's coming through. He's breaking off dead branches. I mean, he's doing the work. Now, the vine. Jesus, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. The vine dresser. Okay. So, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every fruit that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it may bear more fruit. Now, just say what it says. You know, you got false professions, you know, they're just hanging on. Branches coming out. You got all sorts of false professions. It's not up to us to determine a lot of that. You know, I mean, you don't know a person's heart. But God knows the heart. And at some time, some point, he's going to break that branch off. How did that happen? I go, I think I know. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, we just did a Dove conference, and a couple of things were, it was a wonderful conference. I wish all of you could have been there. But there was a couple of things that shared of people that had been in the faith. They just chunked it and left. And I'm going, that can't be. That can't be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It just, you know, one of them spoke here in this church several years ago. And I thought, what are you doing? You know, some people, it's interesting, people's spiritual gifts come out. I just so hurt to my heart, and I prayed to Jesus. I said, you know, I'd like to slap him silly. You know, so I got a lot to work on. You know, I mean, I really, you know, it's like, we need to brush. No, that guy, we need to just go visit him. It just really upset me. Now, but what happens is, how can that happen? Right here. Jesus knew what was going to happen beforehand. I didn't know. God always knew. And he is the vine dresser. He broke it off. And then it goes on to say, and I really relate to this one, and for the healthy branches, he prunes. I do this prayer, like, God, I am pruned to death. Lord, you know, I got to get this right sooner or later, you know. What is he pruning? Well, you know, this is a bad leaf. Cut that off. See, he cut it off like it hurts. You know, it hurt. And, you know, we need more sunlight. And it's like, we'll move it here. And it's like, Lord Jesus, what is happening? I love you. I'm studying your word. And I just stop. Hey, you need pruning. Like when you hear someone's broken off, you should have compassion and not want to smack them. You know, that tells me where your heart is. See? So it's like, okay. But he prunes. So here you have the vine, we're connected, we're getting the living sap from Jesus. The living sap from Jesus. But you have the vine, hey, this branch is dead, there's nothing happening. He's fooling everybody, he looks like a good branch, he's not. I'm going to break it off, get rid of him. Because when I get rid of him, it gets more juice to the other fruit. But, I mean, that's the reason you break them off, because it uses up sap that the other branches need. So you clean it. You clean it off. And then the world, hey, man, this one's going good. I'm so excited. I am so excited with all this. Oh, man, he has potential. You know what happens when you have potential? That means you're not there yet. That's what it means. Oh, you got potential. My brother-in-law's a football coach. And he said he had a kid that he'd go and recruit these kids. And the coach would say, this kid, is he tearing them up? This is unbelievable football player. He said, all right, look at him. And he'd go to this football coach, and he'd say, this kid, he has a lot of potential. And he goes, I think, that kid ain't doing nothing now. See, and that's what the Lord says to him. You got potential. You ain't doing nothing now. See, so having potential, he prunes you so that you can be there now. Now, so prunes. And I share that. Because I also know he's pruning you, so I don't feel bad. I know. If you're on the vine, he's pruning you. You know, he's pruning you. Because that's what he does. Because what is the picture of perfection? Jesus. Oh, okay. I fall a hair short of Jesus, so I need pruning. But that's what the vine dressers do. Now, that explains a little bit about a Christian life. Okay, why don't I just sail through? Well, you need a little pruning. You need a little pruning. And you need pruning here. And did you get all this pruning here? And said, man, I'm sailing. And then the Lord shows you, yeah, but you not even touched this area. I never even knew that was an area to work on. See, and there's more pruning. You know, because Jesus is the perfection. But that's what this verse said. So Jesus is telling us up front. He's telling us so that we will know right here in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John. And then he says, those that don't bear fruit He cast them away. And those that bear fruit, like you were bearing fruit, we're getting some things done. He prunes. Why? So you can bear more fruit. That's what the vine dresser does. That's what Steve Stockman would tell me. You pray those up and then they bear more fruit. But you had to constantly go through and prune. Had to constantly. So God is busy with his branches. With his branches. Now, verse 3 says this. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. All God's people said, amen. He's pruning. And Lord, I just feel like I'm just falling. No, you're clean because of the word I spoke. No, you're clean. You're good. You're like, I want you to be better. I want you to bear fruit. So I want you to bear fruit. So I'm going to prune. It's going to hurt. But you're clean. See, I mean, aren't you glad he said that? So already you're clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, Jesus says, abide, live, take up residence, abide in me, and I in you. Abide, pruned, and I abide in you, sap. You got that? Abide, pruned, and I abide in you, sap. That's how it works. So he's telling us, it's like, stay connected to the vine. Stay connected. All I know for sure is, Lord, I love you, and I'm in the vine. You know, and that's okay. I'll fill you sap, and I'll do what I need to do. Abide in me, I abide in you. That's what it says. Abide in me, and I in you. See, I've always had a problem with that. I could see Jesus abide in me, okay, but me abide in him? I mean, how I get in him? You know, he says, you're grafted in by the words you believe. You're grafted and you abide. You stay there with me. You don't chunk it. You don't give up. You just stay there. You abide in me. I give you that. Now I abide in you. That is Christianity. I mean, that's it right there. So abide in me and I in you. This is just, you want to laugh. I mean, God, I see God going, you just don't get it, but this is what. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now, you know that, don't you? You got a branch laying in the yard. You know it can't bear fruit. You know this. But in the case with that Christian life, he's got to tell us. He's got to tell us. He's, you're a branch, not the vine. You're a branch. And so therefore, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's a lot of theology there. Why can't God abide in me? It's not what you do. It's where you abide. Amen? It's what I do. No, it's where you abide. I'll give you fruit if you abide. And you try to do it without Jesus. How many of you, God will love this. You have this great plan. And it's like, what? You didn't abide. You didn't get that from me. You know, you thought it was a good idea and you're off out there and you just made a mess of things. You have to abide. Then you get the sap and then you bear fruit. And he goes, do you understand that the branch broke off can't bear fruit? Do you understand it? Of course we understand. Then why don't you abide in me? Because you can't bear fruit either. That's what, why can't you can't bear fruit? You can't bear fruit unless you abide in me. Amen? Now, what he's also saying here, we'll go back to Romans, Jew and Gentile means nothing. He goes, you guys are missing. Jews, you're missing the boat. Gentiles, you're missing the boat. It doesn't make any difference. For Christians, our individuality, our prestige means nothing. Not a thing. Not one thing. The only thing that matters is Jesus, in whom we receive all things. Amen? It is all about Jesus. And get the sap. How do you get the sap? You got to stay in the vine. You know? I want to do this. Well, get in the vine, receive the sap, and it'll produce fruit. He'll give directions. Now, here is one of my favorite verses, all right? It's verse 5. John 15, 5. And he's clearing this up for us so that we can understand. See, the point of it is understanding. The other part is doing it, right? It is doing it. And you know, see these branches running around trying to bear fruit, you know? This little apple branch running around trying to bear apple. You know, he's not going to do it. We know that's stupid. And God's going, it's just as stupid as what you're doing. That was my word. That wasn't necessarily anointed word. Linda's not here, and she'd go, don't. Anyway, so here's the verse. I mean, this is incredible. Next verse, John 15, 5. I am the vine. See, repetitious there. God, I am the vine, which means you're not the vine. I mean, you kind of get that. You produce no sap whatsoever, you know. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, whoever's connected to the vine and is in me and flows that in him, okay? Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. I want to bear fruit for Jesus. Connect with the vine. Don't do stuff for the vine. Don't do stuff for the vine. Connect with the vine. Connect with the vine. See? Now, this next phrase, this is the next clause here. It's a great memory verse. I mean, you can have it memorized before you leave this room. All right? And it's like, well, why? Well, why is the last clause, for apart from me, you can do. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do a thing. Now, I won't be, I'm guilty as anyone. But about this is not to non-believers. This is not to non-believers. This is to believers. This is to his church. His church. The issue with a church is apart from Christ, it can do nothing. It can do nothing. This is a true story. And it's kind of convicting and a little, not a lot of empathy there. But this happened. The guy, there's one of these Chinese, it happened to be Chinese, and it came from the, you know, communist China, and from a house church in communist China. So they brought him here. And of course, in house church, you can imagine, and, you know, they're persecuted, and they brought him here. And it happened to be, just happened to be, it could have been any church, but he brought him into, it's a mega church. I mean, a huge building, and, you know, I mean, it's a Christian church and stuff. And he just showed him, he says, I want to show you, this is what's happening, this is what God's been doing. And so he walks to the church, he's a Chinese, coming up, house church. And he says, what do you think? He goes, it's amazing what you can do without Jesus. I mean, did you hear that? That's what he said. It's amazing what you can do without Jesus. You know, it's like, because he wasn't spiritually excited about what he saw. But it's a neat building. And it really was a neat building. But it was like, wow, that's amazing. But I don't think he wanted one. I don't think. But you see what I'm saying? So what the thing of it is, and by the way, it hasn't, I mean, he'd probably come in here and say the same thing. But the point of it, it's not the building, it's not the programs, it's not nothing about what's going on. It's a fact that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing worthwhile spiritually. Nothing worthwhile spiritually. And connected to Jesus, you can do all things God desires, because you get sap from the vine. And Jesus works through the branches. It's a good thing that I leave, because you'll do greater things than me, because you're connected to the vine. Vine. And so we have potential, all the potential. Potential means not doing nothing now, but potential to do everything
that Jesus did or wants us to do. Because he has chosen to work through people. That's it. He's chosen to work through people. His question is to stay connected to the vine. How many of you have done that? I have been waiting and waiting and praying and praying and nothing. So I'm just going to do this. I mean, it's time to move. Like that, you know? Well, maybe, maybe not. And you're going, and a lot of times what we do is we disconnect from the vine. We've disconnected from the vine, you know? Pastor Milliken, I told you, the pastor is in the Congo, gone to be with the Lord. He's in the Congo for 50 years. How does anybody stay in the Congo for 50 years? But he did. He came. He said, listen. And he was always excited when he'd tell me these things. He was excited. Oh, he says, God is really, really, really slow, but he's never late. And like, I'm supposed to be really encouraged by that. And I'm thinking, I like one that yesterday. I want one. And I'm really, 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 never late. He's never late, you know. And I tell him, oh, man, things are just falling apart. And just, oh, wow, really? Are they falling apart? That means God's going to move soon. It's like, gosh, you can't discourage this guy with anything. I mean, he's like, I did my best to discourage him. You know, I did what everybody in the Congo couldn't do. I was trying to discourage him, and he absolutely would not let me discourage him. I shared with him my heart one time. I was just broken. I mean, it's like, and I'm sure he just, by the way, he'd come and visit, you know, once or a year, once every 2 years. I just shared my heart. He goes, my. Isn't Satan busy? Well, yeah, but you know, but he couldn't see. Everything he saw was through a spiritual lens. He's a spiritual lens. And I shared with you, one time I've shared all these stories with you, but I shared about that one. I had that terrible meeting, and I called him up, and you know I call London. He's in London. You won't believe what's happening. See, I followed him and tried to discourage him. You know, you won't believe what's happening. Having this meeting, he's all mine. You know, I tell you what, let's do. Just think. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, how about we pray God into that meeting? I mean, okay, and what else? He said, no, no. And I said this. I said, well, what do you want me to say? He said, don't you say anything. Don't say one word. I said, that's going to be hard because it's about me. You know? And you know, and so this, but this is what this is talking about. And by the way, I went to the meeting and everything worked out unbelievably well, and I didn't say anything, which is probably one of the reasons it worked out unbelievably well. I didn't say anything, you know? And then everybody says, you're doing such a good job in leaving. I said, wow. You know, he prayed God into the meeting. You know, he just had to get me to shut up and stay out of the way, and then God would work. You know, I was helping God out so much, which got me in the meeting. You see what I'm saying? I just like, so, but this is what this verse is saying. And of course, there's growth in it. You learn how to do that as you walk through things. But this verse 5, stands alone, and it's a truth that we have to incorporate into our Christian life. But it's because of who we recognize who God is. It's because we're connected to the vine. And he's pruning. You know, I get pruning. You just think about pruning. Cutting leaves off of this. I don't like any of it, you know. So I won't leave Dodge. I won't unconnect to get out of the pruning. But you see how... you know, how what that does. How reverse... You know, you think you can get out of it, you're getting into a worse mess. See? That's what happens. It's like, no, you stay connected. And he's doing some pruning. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. And then he's going to put you right where he wants you. He's going to do right what he wants to. But you know what it takes to do this? An unbelievable faith in God that he is working in this world. That's what it takes. Unbelievable. And it's, well, if I see him parting the Red Sea, then I'll go through. If I see him dropping manna, then I'll eat some. He goes, no, what you see is the sea. Now happen. Well, no, I think I'd have more faith if you parted it. You know, I'd have a lot more faith if you parted it. No, believe I will part it. All right. I don't know how I'm convinced Linda of this, but, you know, you say so. See? And that's not very much confidence. Where Pastor Mel said, no, that's, you don't have anything. You don't have anything to worry about. You're special in God's eyes. You're God's person. And He is working. He's pruning you, and He's working you to have a supernatural impact in the world. But you've got to trust Him. Trust Him. I went to this conference, a great comment. He says, most of the Christians here want victory with no battle. I said, yeah, I got the comment. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He says, no, you don't understand what God is doing. And He's calling out His people. But it is an unbelievable trust that you should, no matter what, you stay connected to Jesus, and you're receiving the sap, and you're growing, and He'll be doing pruning, and it says you will bear fruit. And by the way, He prunes when you're bearing fruit. He prunes. If you're not bearing any fruit, He just breaks it off. You know, there's nothing happening here. So here we have this picture. Now, the effectiveness of the believer depends on being connected to the vine and receiving the constant flow of life from Christ. That's it. It's just staying connected. That's it, to the vine. That's what we're supposed to do. Everyone grafted in, receiving nourishment from Christ through the Holy Spirit, is part of God's kingdom. We receive life, power from the vine, which is Jesus. We look at everything. And up this point, we look at everything and we go, wow, I'm amazed. You know, it's like... Now, so I'm going to kind of put a period here, and you think, oh my goodness, what He said about what He's going to do. And I mean, He says what He's going to do. He tells us that this is how, and He told those same disciples, right, and you're about to say, you're going to do more than I did, you know. That's what He told them. And so when we look at this, I want us to kind of process it, say, okay, that's what the Lord says. Then look at what God said in all the book of Romans. Romans 8, 1 through 8. That He gave our salvation, our faith, the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He did all of it. He covered all of what He did, and who are we to be, and we trust. And He said, I'm going to take care of this Jewish Gentile thing. I'm taking care of it. And we look at what He's done. We believe, look how He's taking care of that. And we should look at Him, and we should, when we see everything from Romans chapter 1 through 11, we should be absolutely overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with God and who God is and who we believe in. Overwhelmed. And because we're overwhelmed and we know chapters 1 through 11, we can do nothing but eternally praise Him. That's it. All we can do is eternally praise Him. Amen? Amen? Okay, listen how chapter 11 ends. Listen how it is. And this is what Paul says. Paul's going, oh my gosh. You know, he wrote it. Take everything. Listen to how closes this whole section of Scripture of what God does. 11 chapters. Romans 11:33. And this is how it just abruptly starts like this. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. How inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor, even though I tried? Okay. Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, God, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. See, if we grasp it, that's all we can say. That's all we can say. Oh my God. Your magic is overwhelming. I can't imagine that. And then we live in that majesty. We live in that majesty of what God's going to do. We live in that majesty how God's moving. And that's the one thing Pastor Milliken would always bring back to me is I never went to him and said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm doing great. Glad you're here." I mean, I had, you know, a boatload of problems. But what he could see is every time I presented something, "Oh, the majesty of what God will do through this." That's all he could see. The majesty of how he will answer this. That's how he looked at everything, the majesty. And he could see nothing but the majesty of God, so much so that the problems just went away. Well, it's not a problem. This is just the majesty of God. No matter what. And that's how he looked. And that's how this ends. It's just the majesty of God. Paul just like breaks down. They're just, "Oh my goodness. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given him a gift that he might be repaid?" Amen. Amen. So all God's people, grafted people say, "Praise God for all mankind, his glory, his incomprehensible majesty." And it comes to this, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Amen. Amen. That's who we are. We are on the winning side. He is doing this, okay? And he's bringing us into that for his purposes. And he is doing a work. A work. Don't be discouraged when you see branches broken off. He knew it. He knew it a long time ago. He just knew it. He knew who's fooling everybody. He knew it. See? And if they won't last, they won't last. Okay, and you see a little sprig of branch and you grow into this unbelievable thing that he grafts in. Because he knew. He knew when he grafted it in. Amen? And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, abide in him. What does that mean? Abide. You see that all through the Bible. I'm just telling you, that was hard for me to comprehend. But abide in him. Stay grafted in. Stick hooked to the vine. Abide in him, and you just receive the sap. Receive the sap. You abide in him, then he abides in you. You get the sap. Bring sap. Sap. I mean, that's it. And he said, then you will bear fruit from my sap because you abided in me. That's it. That's it. And that's where it is. Hallelujah. It is a joy to be where the Lord has us. Have you ever wondered, why am I in Ashburn? Lord Jesus, I don't like these people. You know, it's just like, they're not like back on the farm. I mean, why am I here? You're here because of these people. You're here because of these people. I brought you here because of these people. That's why you're here. God, I wish you would come and do this. I brought you here so you would do this. I left so you would do this. You know. Okay. I think that's a terrible plan. But all right, if that's what you're saying. But you see what I'm saying? So your whole thought changes. Your whole process things. And you see God in everything. And everything's a divine appointment. Everything God's moving in a divine way. And everything God has a picture that we have. It's incomprehensible to us. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable is it? I mean, it's bigger. Bigger than me. Bigger than me. And of course, Jesus does something. Oh, Jesus, tell me. One of the things I love he told disciples, he goes, "I have much to tell you. You can't bear it." Just got to keep it. You're having trouble with what I told you with already. You didn't know, well, you can bear this. You know. So, you know, there's sometimes he just can't handle it. You can't handle it. Your Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you give us a picture that we can understand, so consistent. And that, Lord, it is all about you. It is all about you. Just the simple thing that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, that is so incredible. And that applies to all aspects of our life. All aspects of our life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So God, we give you the thanks. We give you you died for us. If we were the only person in the world, you would have died for us. And we have an eternal home with you. I thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray you would be our teacher. And that as you prune us, and it's going to hurt a little bit, that we would learn and see what you're trying to teach us, that we can grow in a powerful way. We give you thanks, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.